Welcome to Guided Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. For today's program, I would like to beat the drum I have beat many times in the past, the biblical Christian position that government needs to be under God. Romans chapter 13, government is to be a minister of God to you for good, a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. The historic Christian position is that all government needs to be under God. All magistrates need to put themselves under God. Any government of man that believes that all laws must originate from man and man alone is on the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. And this current belief that has pervaded the American mind, that the state is to be a secular, godless entity in order to be fair to unbelievers, is not the Christian position. Now, the reason I'm bringing this subject up again is that the conservative commentator Matt Walsh was scheduled to speak at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, a Southern Baptist Christian university, and some students were protesting his invite by claiming that he was a theocratic fascist. Why? Because he believes the government must follow Christian conservative values. And this is a professing Christian university, mind you. A petition against Walsh received 2,700 signatures, which claimed to represent Baylor University's family of alumni, faculty members, and university donors. I wonder if that is legitimate. But nevertheless, even if there were only 100 students who believed the label theocratic fascist, that those who believe in theocracy are fascists, that's 100 students too many. Those are students who, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, are like children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. They are, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, those who are taken captive through philosophy and empty deception. And the concern here is that many evangelical Christians, Christian students on college campuses, have fallen for the lie of the pluralistic secular state. And they do not know and have never thought through what the Bible actually teaches about the role of government. So, by way of review, let's remember that the founders of our country, the framers of our Constitution, believed America was to be a theocracy. And by the correct definition of that term, it means a rule by God rather than a rule by man. A rule by the law of nature and nature's God. And this was the basis behind the famous work Lex Rex by the Scottish Presbyterian minister Samuel Rutherford. The whole work was about how the law of God is to be the king, not the human king. And William Blackstone, the founder of American jurisprudence, wrote that no enactment of man can be considered law unless it conforms to God's law. John Adams wrote, "A republic is to be a government of laws, not of men." Well, whose laws was he speaking about, if it's not coming from man? God's transcendent universal laws. And where do we get them? From written and natural revelation. And our rights and laws were not to be derived from the state, but from God, because God is over the state. Jefferson wrote, "God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" So, the historic Christian position that influenced America's founders is that every nation is to be under God. One nation under God, and that is the source of America's justice and greatness, as opposed to the communistic, atheistic, secular view that law is derived from human opinion. that man is his own king. So philosophically and theologically, every nation is, in a sense, to be a theocracy. A rule by God rather than a rule by man. It doesn't matter if 51% of the public wants to kill infants. Elected officials need to follow the law of God, not the will of the people, in matters of moral law. And when our Constitution begins, "We the people of the United States," it does not mean that we the people are the source of transcendent moral law. It means we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. We're simply putting ourselves under the system of a Republican governance. But it doesn't mean we, the people, are the king. The Christian position is Isaiah 33:22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king." But the 20th century was the age of secularism. This blatant rejection of God, the historic belief in a rule by God, has been replaced with a rule by man. The secular view of government, law positivism, that law is merely a social construct made by man. And the clause in our Constitution that the state must not establish a religion is now taken to mean that the state cannot enforce any morality that comes from religion. If there are any moral laws at all, it must be derived by the will of the people. And even if 51% of the people want the state to enforce a moral law, if that moral law has a basis in religion rather than pragmatism, that law is invalidated on its face because it violates the rights of a secular minority. The argument is that in order to be fair in a pluralistic society, there can be no Christian moral law. Nothing based upon religion. And this lie is so pervasive that if you go to survey Christian students on some quasi-Christian college campus and ask them whether the state should outlaw homosexuality or abortion or marijuana, you will get many who will say, "I personally do not believe in those practices, but those are only personal laws for people in the church. But since we live in a pluralistic secular society, the state should not impose Christian morality on other people. The state must be pluralistic, non-religious, in order to accommodate to everyone in a democracy. And so the best state of affairs is for the state to be religiously neutral in regard to moral law." And this is the contention of the ACLU and the People for the American Way and the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And this has become the dominant view in American academia and jurisprudence. But if a Christian was to take just a little time to think about this, he would realize that in taking the position of a pluralistic secular state, he is endorsing the lawlessness of the Antichrist. The very position that the Antichrist will use to overthrow Christ's authority over this world. And if the Christian would just take a few moments to think about this, he would realize that there is no such thing as neutrality. Every government is a theocracy in some sense, because every government operates on some transcendent moral law, either the rule by God or the rule by man. Either the guiding ethic is the religion of Christianity, or the guiding ethic is the religion of secular humanism. And secular humanism is a religion. It has a cosmology, it has a teleology, it has moral dictates. It's based upon faith in man. And really, the people on the left are theocratic fascists, because they want to turn America into a secular humanist theocracy. God not with a big G, but God with a little g, where man is God. Now, they may think that it's the right theocracy because they believe it's based upon logic and science, but it's a theocracy nonetheless. And you know, if I were the devil and I wanted to turn a nation into Sodom and Gomorrah, I would sell the public on the myth of neutrality. That a government can exist somewhere in the middle between the theocracy of God and the theocracy of man. But no, one position will eventually win out. 2 years ago, I did a program called Five Myths. Program number 277. I talked about the myth of neutrality. I talked about some of the myths that surround theocracy. You may want to check that out. But my contention here is that too many Christians don't think, particularly some of these students at Baylor. They're led astray by emotional slogans. They've come to believe that a theocratic worldview would remove their constitutional rights. When in fact, without a theocratic worldview, you would have no constitutional rights. Because in order for us to have constitutional rights, those rights have to come from God. Without God being the basis for moral law, you have no God-given rights as laid out in the Constitution. The only rights you have is what the state arbitrarily decides to give you. But I'll tell you, the devil is sure as smart. And the doctrines of demons have infiltrated the mind of the ungodly. He has successfully painted the picture that serving God or obeying God's law will result in some sort of dystopian state of bondage, like The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, this is the old lie that God is the oppressor and he's the liberator. But the truth is that true freedom is found under the law of God. And the license to practice immorality and lawlessness results in ignorance and bondage. 2 Peter 2:19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. I hope you just see that the left is pushing the secular narrative, subtly trying to convey the story that Christian religious values are the cause of all of the problems and divisions in our country, and that a secular, godless country will actually result in greater freedoms. For example, Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of a small town in Indiana, recently announced he's running for president on the Democratic ticket. He's made a number of speeches saying that the Democratic Party is really the party of freedom. He has said, "You're not free if a county clerk can take away your freedom to homosexual marriage." He said, "You're not free if you can't abort your child." So we, the Democrats, are the party of freedom. Now, he's not only wrong in thinking that man's freedom is the basis for ethics rather than the higher law of God, but he isn't even promoting freedom itself. Moral license is actually sin and bondage. And as in that old hymn, America the Beautiful, "Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." God's law. Like a friend of mine recently said, when is a train most free? When it stays on the track it's made to run on. So freedom must be under and confined by God's moral laws. So how many students at Baylor do you think are able to expose and refute this lie of the secular state? This lie that a theocracy is totalitarian, that a theocracy is unjust, that a theocracy is oppressive. And how many students at Baylor do you think are passionate about our faith in Jesus Christ being the king over the nations? This historic Christian doctrine of government, the Christian teaching of Christ's authority that we are to spread to the nations. Probably not too many. But how about you? Are you a firm believer in biblical theocracy? The rule of Christ. Now, this is not teaching theonomy, that minority Christian view you sometimes find in Presbyterian circles that teaches that Gentile nations need to go back under the Old Testament law. That's a whole different subject. Maybe in a future program I'll address that. I am talking about basic theocracy, where our elected leaders are obligated before God to rule for God's moral law. Now, the conservative commentator, Matt Walsh, who was going to be speaking at Baylor, has a very dry, satirical sense of humor. When this controversy at Baylor broke out, he said on his program at the Daily Wire, that, yes, on his Twitter bio, he describes himself as a theocratic fascist. And the reason he says he put this in his bio is because a few months ago, someone sent him a message trying to insult him, saying, hey, you should put theocratic fascist in your Twitter bio because that's what you are. And so he said, okay, I did. And then Walsh went on to say, now you can either interpret that one of two ways. A, clearly that is a sarcastic joke making fun of all the people who call me a theocratic fascist, not knowing what those words mean. Or B, I am literally a theocratic fascist since I identify as one on Twitter. Walsh then said, which is correct? Obviously, the latter. B, I am literally a theocratic fascist, and I believe my religious beliefs need to be forced on people by the government, not just the government, but the government headed by me as a dictator. And that's just my opinion. And it's not just my religious beliefs, but all that I believe. I want everything I believe to be forced on you by compulsion. For instance, I recently went on a tirade on Twitter against white condiments. I'm a racist against white condiments, cream cheese, ricotta, tartar sauce, ranch dressing. All of it is garbage, and all of it is for low IQ people. In my theocratic fascist government, all of them will be confiscated, and anyone who is caught with contraband, like ranch dressing, will face execution and a $50 fine. So this is my whole thing. I think that everyone should be forced by agents of the state to bend to my every whim and to live and speak and act as I decree upon penalty of death. And it's not such a big deal. It's just nothing to overreact about. I just happen to believe that everyone should be forced to do what I want to do. It's just my view. We all have our political opinions. This just happens to be mine. But I want to say this. Don't worry, because when I completely take over this country, I want to make this clear, my regime will be extremely corrupt, which means you can always bribe me, and I will let you pass on most of the rules. For instance, this is a theocratic fascism. So those who don't go to church on Sunday will be burned at the stake. Usually. But if you pay me some money, I will let you go because it will be a very corrupt regime. And I can't stress this enough. So it's not as if my mercy can't be bought. And that's all. But everyone is freaking out over all this. But if you pay me, it won't be such a big deal. So Matt Walsh continues to troll the left with this satire. You know, just ridiculing the left's characterization of the theocratic state. But this should get us thinking a little bit. What would a Christian country look like? I mean, what laws would Christians really like to see enforced? Not because they are our opinions, but because we believe that the state is called of God to enforce certain natural, universal laws. Romans 13. Be God's ministers who bring wrath on the ones who practice evil. Well, certainly. First of all, the state should enforce capital punishment for murder. That was the Genesis 9 command given to all mankind. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now, certainly, abortion doctors would be in that category. That might seem strange, but 70 years ago, that was the law of the land. Infanticide was the worst form of murder. And certainly given the marriage laws given to all mankind in the book of Genesis, there would be no polygamy, no incest, no pedophilia. And actually, homosexual marriage, homosexuality would be outlawed. Now, the death penalty wouldn't be required because that Old Testament Mosaic law was given to Israel and not to the Gentiles. But just like it was 50, 60 years ago, there'd be some sort of fine. You say, wouldn't that be unfair for homosexuals? Well, such moral laws are also unfair for pedophiles and those who practice incest and those who want multiple wives. Why does one sexual deviance get a pass and others do not? before the sexual revolution, homosexuality was illegal in America because the state believed it had a responsibility before God to hinder sexual deviance. And I would also imagine that in a Christian state, pornography would also be made illegal, like it was before the 1950s in America. The British Parliament just passed a law requiring anyone who views pornography online in Great Britain to prove that they're over 21 years old. Is that unfair? No, they're doing this because they realize what pornography is doing to their society. It's twisting the minds of men. It's twisting the minds of the youth. It's in the moral abuse of women. So, yes, a Christian country would mean going back under the law of God. Not in petty extra-biblical standards, that's the lie of the left, but in the major morals regarding God's natural law. And it is not a strange thing that when a group of people get together to form a country, they start with a contract. And the contract needs to be what we all agree on in regard to some basic morals. I mean, if you want to live in Sodom and Gomorrah, then start your own country. You can write sexual freedom into your contract. You can also write in communism or wealth redistribution or infanticide or abortion and see how that works for you after 75 years. So, Christians do believe in a theocracy as properly defined. But here's a closing thought. Should we even let the world know we believe in the historic Christian doctrines of government? That governments need to enforce God's law? That we believe in the principle of the founders of America? That America should be in principle theocratic? I mean, given the misunderstanding and misapplication of the word theocracy, why even bring it up? I mean, why even bother to discuss the laws that we would like to see implemented in America? Why not just preach the gospel? Well, first, duplicity is a tactic of the left. Don't tell your opponent your real agenda. Just say you're for generic concepts such as freedom and liberty and the American way. And then when you get into power, implement your real agenda. Far be it from Christians to ever act that way. Second, what is the gospel? Repentance toward God and faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the gospel is telling the world that submission to Lord Jesus Christ means accepting his prohibitions against perverse immoralities. And third, it is a God-given command for God's people to tell the nations, the governments of men, to submit to Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 33, blesses the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm chapter 2, verse 10, now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. And I hope you have taken refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing him as your Lord and Savior, submitting your will to his will, accepting his righteous standards. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to download this program or to listen to it again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for extended version of God and Country programs is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Go to YouTube and type into the search bar God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people not be deceived by the voices of this world. Help them to know your high calling upon the nations, and may they be confident in the truth of your authority, and may they proclaim that truth. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.